apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's a guy who is not going to be evicted here on night number two. I am Rob's sister, Nina. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our live coverage of the Big Brother premiere, night number two. As we have our first person officially out of the game, we have a new HOH and a lot to break down here with you live right after the a little bit after the episode, of course, here on a Wednesday night. If you're joining us live, if you're in the podcast feed, come on and join us live after the episode sometime. All right, let's go ahead and talk to our panel here tonight with us. So very excited to bring in first a man who is, I'm sure, not happy with the way that the twist went down tonight, Mr. Brent Walgamont. Brent, how are you?
I am here. I'm here for now, as Julie would say. And I'm very excited about this season.
Where are you going?
I'm not going anywhere, but I have told the chat and Twitter incarnate that I have not been feeling well all day. I have a little bit of strep, but I am here, Rob. I made it here and I am ready to talk about Big Brother.
Okay. All right. Happy to have you back, Brent. Of course, somebody we're always happy to have back with us here is the great Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing great. My draft is not doing so hot, but I plan to come back with Nicole and Bella. So don't even worry about me.
Okay. All right. So here we are, and we are back once again, of course, that we are going to be taking your questions here in this show tonight, hashtag RHAP on Twitter. Of course, the Summer of Stein is going to kick off this week. So get your questions in. You can email summerofstein@robhaswebsite.com. Questions for Eric and I to cover. We're going to record that, I believe, Friday afternoon. So look for that probably later on in the day on Friday. Plus, we will have our coverage of the Amazing Race finale, which I know is going on live. Please, in the chat, please be respectful of no spoilers about the Amazing Race in the chat here tonight as we go along. Got a lot on the DVR tonight to get through after we talk about the podcast here tonight. So we will have Amazing Race exit interviews with the teams on Thursday, and I will get together with Mike Bloom and Jessica Lise as well on Thursday night as we recap the finale of the Reality Star Showdown. But it was a showdown of a different sort tonight. Also, real quick, appreciate everybody who went out and gave us feedback and star ratings. I saw a surge to the top of the polls on the Apple Podcast chart. So I appreciate that for everybody that went out and gave the podcast a honest review and rating in the Apple Podcast store. You go to robhaswebsite.com/iTunes for that, or for the BB Podcast only, robhaswebsite.com/BB Podcast. Of course, the Big Brother live feeds also get started tonight, probably sometime around after the Pacific Standard Time version of the episode. So what's that's going to be, about midnight Eastern, Brent?
Yep, sounds like it.
Okay, so be on the lookout for the Big Brother live feeds. You can sign up for Big Brother live feeds through our website at robhaswebsite.com/live feeds. Taryn Armstrong is going to get the daily live feed report started tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern time, 8 a.m. Pacific. Of course, those are always turned into a podcast within a short amount of time. So make sure you subscribe to the Big Brother podcast or the Reality TV Wrap-Ups feed to get those. Okay. All right. Let's talk about this. Melissa, let me go to you first. Okay. You had David in the draft. We had been speculating that this was going to be the case. What's your feeling about David going out here for now?
I'm sad. It sucks. I hate these day one, day two, whatever evictions because we don't even get to see them on feeds. And we, you know, they don't even get a chance to make a name for themselves in the house, especially when it comes to them getting eliminated due to a competition. to be fair, I loved this competition and it really sucks that this is the situation it came in because it was so fun. And I liked the fact that there were so many different alternative rooms that you could go into. And, you know, if you did it right, maybe you wouldn't even see those rooms. So it was pretty fun that it was kind of like a choose your own adventure game. But it's sucky that this is the situation we find ourselves
in. Can I just weigh in on the competition real quick?
Yes, I don't like this competition.
I tweeted about how I don't like them when the survivors get blindfolded and I don't like when we do this. It's always, it takes so long. It's like, you know, I don't have a color TV to watch people in black and white for 20 minutes fumble around.
It's so fun though.
You can hardly see what's going on. You know, watching people get tarred and feathered. It's not my favorite. Okay. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
That's okay. Melissa, I had the same problem with it as Rob does, that it's not very TV visually appealing. You can't tell who's ahead or who's close or anything unless they're literally coming out the door. I wasn't into it. And then they have to be in the diary room going, well, I feel like I'm in a different part of the competition right now. I was going to say, though, Rob, because I didn't see your Twitter, that it takes me back to Survivor the Amazon, where you were blindfolded, like using your fingers to like read the signs and failed famously at that.
That's a famous fail?
Well, I feel like it is because, I mean...
Infamous, maybe.
But you share some kinship here with David and not being able to figure out the signs.
I don't know what it proves.
You know, a good version of this comp is that one, like, to, you know, alleviate your concerns about the black and white aspect of it and the in the dark thing, is that one where they had to get the airline ticket and then sit next to the passenger and then they had to go from different room, like room to room, and kind of solve different things for each room.
I liked that.
That was really fun. So if they would do something that's similar like this one to that one, more, you know, solving puzzles, colorful.
And the one in Big Brother Celebrity this past season was really good also. So that was a more fun take on this. But yeah, so David goes home. You know, I felt like I didn't get anything from David last night, but then I thought that David really had a personality. I was very sad to see him go tonight, Brent.
I was still trying to figure out exactly what was going on with him, but at the end, it really feels like his humanity came out. I always felt like he was a bit of an introvert going into the house. He wasn't giving me a lot. I was having trouble connecting with him, but I really do feel like at the end, he was trying to make an effort to let us in to see what he's about and what he cares about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it was interesting because I saw the end of the comp where Julie's like, and David, you're out. And he's like, oh, okay.
I know, right?
It was like, wait, okay, cool. And then my feed cut and I didn't get to see the diary room. So I saw it. I ended up seeing it later. But at first I was like, this guy doesn't care at all. Like, good riddance. But then I saw the diary room and it was clear that like, he's not the type of person who really, you know, shows his emotions out there to everybody and is very outgoing and all that sort of thing. But you could tell that he really did care about the game. And it's really sad that he doesn't get to stay in more than
a
day.
I feel it's like he cares about how he was perceived by America. I don't know that he gives a shit about the Big Brother game. That's how I see it.
I think he cares about his chance. Like, I think he may not care about any other Big Brother season, but I think that he thought that this was a chance that he was going to, you know, be famous and get rich. And so I think that he was definitely invested in this experience, which is now potentially taken away from him.
Yeah, I you know what, though? Like, I did like the fact that Julie said that he's not fully out. He's out for now, which
you like
means
that? Oh,
I do, because I always wanted that when it came to previous people getting eliminated early, you know, without the opportunity to really fight for themselves. I really wanted him to be able to have the opportunity to come back. And, you know, if he has that opportunity, then, you know, then that at least he's given a fair chance. I don't know. I like it.
All right. The chance that he has, I think, is definitely something that is under some scrutiny right now, because we have some words from Julie Chen at the end of the episode. Let's talk through what Julie said. A little bit of a bombshell here at the end of the episode.
Tune in Sunday to see which two house guests are nominated for eviction.
Okay.
Plus, it's a new twist in the game.
Uh-oh.
The Wacktivity Comp.
Wacktivity Comp? Okay, I'm sure we'll talk a lot about Wacktivities coming up. Okay.
Where a game-changing secret power is up for grabs. It all happens Sunday.
Okay.
Then on Tuesday, it's the first veto competition of the summer, followed by the first live eviction on Wednesday.
Okay.
David may be out of the game, but you haven't seen the last of him. Something that has never happened before on Big Brother will happen live next Wednesday.
Okay. All right. So what does that mean, Brent?
I am not exactly sure. Well, the one thing that I could discern, though, it does seem like that whatever this Wacktivity competition is, it is completely separate from whatever is happening with David. It did seem to me, Melissa, like they were two separate things, did it not? Because it was like, it felt like a new paragraph started when she started talking about David coming back into the game.
We need the punctuation.
Yeah.
We need to know if there was a comma or a period.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Okay, so I thought that the Wacktivity competition is going to be what did they call that last season? The Power Apps. I think that's what we're gonna get that. I think that's going to be the Sunday night thing. But it didn't necessarily sound like that. It's going to be David coming back into the game. It sounds like that he's going to maybe play a role in the eviction or the HOH.
I interpreted it as they're going to probably do a battle back later on. Like he's probably going back to like a hotel for sequester and then.
But he's going to be part of the part of Wednesday's show. Listen.
Stay. David may be out of the game, but you haven't seen the last of him. Something that has never happened before on Big Brother will happen live next Wednesday.
Something that's never happened before is going to happen live on Wednesday.
You're right. That does sound like does totally sound like David is not coming back, or he doesn't have the chance to come back into the game. He's just going to they're just keeping him around, just for kicks.
No, I feel
it seems mean.
Could he vote maybe on Wednesday?
I feel like the most obvious answer is that they're going to do a battle back along the way. Remember that they did a battle back before, but they aired it all in one night. I feel like what they're talking about here is something where David could battle of course, there's nobody else. Nobody's evicted by this point. So I guess he can't battle anybody. So
how about
never
this?
Mind, I was totally wrong.
What if then they vote somebody out and then they have the option to vote the person that they just voted out back in or have David?
Yeah, they've done that before.
Is this a Survivor-style twist where they go to Extinction Island or whatever and they have to have their separate Big Brother house where don't get certain things?
You think it's the edge of extinction?
The chat keeps saying that they think it's a battle back, but honey, there's nobody for him to battle back. So what the hell is he going to do on Wednesday? They said we're going to see him on Wednesday.
Maybe they keep voting for more camp directors and he still gets to vote for that until the battle back.
Here's what I'm wondering. So we know how universally popular or unpopular it is to have somebody that get to be eliminated in these first two nights. But I feel like that the show feels like, hey, we need this because we have 2 hours to fill. And if we don't get rid of somebody, there's really nothing to do over the course of 2 hours to fill two different nights of the Big Brother premiere. So they have to do it. But what if they've sort of come up with some way where he's out of the game, but then also that he has maybe a 50-50 shot to get back in on Wednesday.
Well, you see, I could appreciate this whole thing more if they did it like a regular eviction. Like, okay, sure, we don't get to see him on feeds, but at the very least, he got to fight for his chance in the house. This is just this stupid thing where one person decides four people have to compete. And then if he doesn't succeed in this one competition, maybe this one area is not his area,
going in the dark spot for him.
It's a blind spot.
Yes, this is a blind spot for David. And so it's not, I don't like that aspect of it. Like, sure, yeah, I wish we could see the first evicted on feeds, but if they were able to fight for their lives like a normal Big Brother, even if it was some sort of situation where it was kind of like, a sped up version of it or something where they do the nomination, the veto, and then the eviction, then I can get behind that because at least they have the chance to plead for their case and win the veto and all that sort of stuff.
But wasn't that like what happened to Cameron?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like that. Also, the chat is reminding me that the eviction is Wednesday, but that still doesn't help me because I don't feel like they're going to do an eviction and then have a competition. I mean, I just don't feel like that's going to go that way. So it can't be a battle back, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I don't feel like that's going to happen.
We'll have to see, you know.
Also, if he gets a chance to come back in right away after he was just evicted, that seems really dumb, and I don't think it's going to play very well because, I mean, he just had his chance. He was banished from the house. You had a chance to come back in, and he lost. And so now, a week later, you're going to give him another chance to come back in?
What if it's that he just has something to do with the Wactivity competition? Just like something. Like, hey, guys,
he's in the Whack Pack.
And then later on, they do a battle back like they did with Cameron, where Cameron got to then compete. And it was like Cameron and Cody and those guys.
Wait, who's this Cameron person you're talking about? You mean Steve?
You're talking about Steve. Cameron didn't get to compete, did he?
No, I'm talking about Cameron. I'm making a joke because Cameron really got screwed over by the...
He was talking about the old guy. He wasn't talking about first outs.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. No, listen. Cliff and Big Brother totally screwed over Cameron tonight because Cliff, when he got back into the house, this is what he said.
They were thinking this guy wasn't going to be sticking around, but I'm not Glenn.
Freak his voice. Come on.
I'm not Jody.
Well, thanks, guys.
I'm sure as heck not Steve.
You're a beast.
So you're saying that as the oldest house guest, that's what he was citing
that's
the old,
what I
not
took
the.
It.
I thought he was saying like the night one eviction people.
I took it as the old person getting voted out first.
But Jody's not the old person.
Yeah.
Well.
Not even like
he was doing night one eviction people, and then he put Summer of Steve on that list instead of Cameron. Yeah,
in comparison to the other people on that season, Jody was not like
a spring
the young
chicken.
Hot crowd sort of thing.
Oh my god!
I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be mean. I swear. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Like in comparison to the other people.
Okay.
Look, as the young person on the podcast tonight, I'm going to dictate who is young and who is old.
Well, how old was Jody when she played?
They're saying she was in her 40s in the chat.
I bet Mike Boogie was older than her.
Oh my god. Y'all, I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, but he doesn't count.
Okay. How old is she now? I want to know how old she was during 14.
Yeah, I'm sure the chat will find it in about 8 seconds.
Bill Hall, get on that for me. Tell me how old she was.
Okay. All right. So, all right. David is gone and for now, and we'll see what happens. And then we had a lot to do with Jackson sort of in the lead up to this. And then following all of this, Jackson playing real hard right now, Brent.
Really hard and really annoying me. Mickey is saying that, oh, well, I didn't want this. Like,
can we revisit this? Let's set this up. Okay. So Jackson is not Jackson anymore. He is Mickey. And we got this set up that Jack tells us, okay, hey, everybody, we're changing some names around here.
So Big Brother's all about making connections. I'm loving these bros. Jersey boy Nick, Southern boy Jackson. My name's Jack, too, so we're calling Jackson Mickey, his last name. Come on, America. I'm the most Jack.
So we can't have Jackson and Jack, but Mickey and Nick is fine, Melissa. That's not confusing. That won't be confusing for Mickey and Nick. We won't screw that.
I feel like it's going to take me a minute to get all the names now that everyone's switching. Like, I feel like I just got comfortable with their real name. And now all of a sudden... they've all got new names like Annalise is Sis.
Sis, yeah.
And, you know, like Tommy is Thomas or something. And now everybody's got different names. So I don't even know. I'm going to have to get used to it.
Is anybody on the panel changing their name for the season? There was that one season of Big Brother OTT where Taryn was Biscuit.
Yes, or Taz. Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah. Why does Taryn have so many nicknames?
There's a lot of names. Okay. All right. So, all right. Jackson is Mickey now. Are we... This is canon. We're all... That's a forget Jackson is out, Mickey in?
I feel like we'll switch back and forth. I mean, he's Jackson in my head, so it's going to take me a while to switch it around to Mickey. But on the other hand, it is easier... I mean, I don't have any problem telling the difference between Jackson and Jack. And like when I say that, when I say Jack, y'all know I'm talking about hot Aquaman guy. When I say Jackson, I'm talking about crazy guy with the square jaw.
Okay. I always forget that Jack's name is Jack because he does not look like a Jack to me.
He does not look like a Jack.
Not at all.
What does he look like, Melissa?
Jason Momoa.
Jason Mimosa?
Jason Mimosa.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, Jackson playing real hard. We saw a lot leading up to everything. How did he make these decisions? I thought that this was really funny when he was talking about this precarious position that he was in. And he was, feeling a little sorry for himself at this point.
I didn't ask for this.
I know.
For damn sure.
Yeah. Jackson definitely did not ask for this. He definitely did not go around the house and campaign.
The only thing he did is absolutely
and get 10 people to vote for him.
And he knew that there was a power that he didn't know what the power was. He knew that he was going to have some sort of responsibility, and he still wanted to be safe. He didn't care about the consequences. Where you have somebody like Ovi, who throughout the show is looking ahead to the big game, as Steve talked about so well on the show last night. By the way, I love the show last night. You can totally tell why Steve Moses won Big Brother 17. He is such a sweetie. And I love the part where he was like, I went online and gave 4 stars or 5 stars or whatever to Rob as a Podcast and the Taran Show. And I'm like, you know what? I did too. When you guys first came on night.
Oh,
so good for you, Steve.
Yeah. No, Steve was great. He sang the whole lyrics to the Taran Show, the great theme from Will from America before the show started. So he was, Steve was into it.
That's a true fan.
Yes.
That is a true fan. Good job, Will.
Yes. Okay.
Catchy tune.
Melissa, so talk to me about the actual people that were picked by Jackson. Did he do a good job here?
Well, no, mm-hmm. I mean, but it's also hard. I feel like it's hard to do it generally, but his logic didn't quite make sense. And then I don't know. I feel like there could have been a better way to do it. And I feel like it could have been put off on other people. Like you could have found a way to get everyone in the house to agree on a certain number of people. Maybe. I don't know. I feel like he just did not do a good job.
Well, a couple of things. I feel like he did as well as he could have done in the overall result, but he failed on the execution. It seems to me that it was pretty easy to just put up the 3 people who were campaigning against you, who threw their hats into the ring. Mm-hmm. That because you didn't pick those people. They picked themselves. And the 4th person in Kemi, who hasn't said anything to you. She even went to the diary room and said, look, I'm not going to go kiss his ass. She didn't even have a talk with him. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm standing Kemi with you all, but she's got to play better. She may not even like the guy, but she's got to go up and say something and kiss his ass and make him think that she actually cares about his well-being in the game, because she didn't do a good job of that. And she could have been out on night 1 if she wasn't lucky. So I feel like he did an okay job with picking these 4 people, but he had an out in the first 3 of those people. But for some reason, he went back on it with David and said, like, I'm going to put these people up, but I need to put you up as a pawn. He just needed to stick with, look, I'm putting the people up who campaigned against me, period, end of story, and I have to pick somebody else. Sorry, Kimmy, girl, bye.
David need to pound the table there? He was sort of like, I don't like it. Nope. I got to be honest, not crazy about this idea. Does he have to say, hell no, you cannot do this to me?
I think he could do that, but in a way that's like, hey, I want to work with you. Like, we've got strong guys right here. Once I get back in the house, like, I won't want to work with you if you put me up or whatever, you know, something like that. Because at the time, it seemed like he was for sure going to come back in the house. I mean, any competition, it's against those guys, you know. He has such a great chance to come back in, but it didn't. I don't feel like David, it's one of those things where you have to walk a fine line. You can't just be like, absolutely not, I refuse to do this. Cause then people are like, well, you're not a team player and now you're mean. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't fight them on it and you accept it pretty readily, then they're like, oh, well then they don't care. Well, but then it's fine.
I will say that the one thing that they did do right was what Taran talked about so well on the show last night, where Jack came in and said, look, the number one thing you have to do is lock in the people that voted you in. Make sure you get those people and keep them safe, because if you don't do that, then this was totally worth nothing. So I was at least glad to hear some semblance of strategy from Jack telling Mickey to keep all of those people safe. And given that 10 people voted for him and he can't nominate himself, I mean, who else is he going to put up, Rob?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So everybody goes in and any other thoughts of the competition? I feel like we already talked about the competition as we are talking through.
I mean, he got really unlucky in that of all the competitions I've seen, this is probably the one that really neutered David's physical ability. It just totally made everything
CrossFit
a level.
Didn't help.
Yeah, no amount of exercise is going to help you in this competition. I mean, Cliff came through first. God bless Cliff. I'm so happy for him that he made it through first. That was so thrilling to see.
Also, he's been doing really well in the competitions.
Yeah, he stayed up there, what, till final five or final six?
Yeah, he was there
in the endurance competition. I was thrilled with that.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to the post competition Big Brother house. And so we saw a little bit more on Tommy and Christy. Now, Brent, we have seen a lot about the pair, Tommy and Christy. I know that you are still confident that there are additional pairs in the house. Have you or have you walked that back at all?
No, I haven't walked that. I haven't walked back shit. There's more pairs in the house. I just think that this one was so obvious that they had to own it. And they tried to shoehorn it into the story with Julie saying, well, there's maybe somebody who knows each other. But I mean, I said what I said the other night on the show, which is that they just didn't care. They ended up casting people who ended up knowing each other. And that's that. So,
yeah, I'm starting to think that it is not intentional. I'm getting confident that it was not intentional, because if it was intentional, they would have mentioned, you know, Holly and Catherine knowing each other and would have said like, you know, okay, we've got a few pairs in the house. Like this was on purpose, but instead it's one pair. And this connection is like the most tenuous connection ever. It's like my aunt dated you a while ago in a relationship and we went to a Lady Gaga concert together. It's like, these are not, that's not like, you know, it doesn't really make sense. It's not exes. It's not whatever. It's like this really strange, you know, relationship. That's like, is that even a relationship? It's like,
well, that's the thing, Melissa. That's why Twitter and, you know, everybody who watches Big Brother couldn't believe this. Nobody could believe that they did this on purpose. Because how could they do this on purpose? I mean, you know, you have people who know each other going into the house. Why would you do that? But in the end, I think the most easy way, the looking at this through rose colored glasses, I'll say this. They found some people that they liked. They later on found out that they have a connection and they looked at it and said, who cares? Let's try it out. I mean, that's how I feel like what happened.
Did Holly and Catherine know each other prior to auditioning for Big Brother?
Yes.
From what you understand.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was like they met each other.
No. They've known each other for years.
Oh, okay.
Holly and Catherine. Yes. I mean, all you have to do is look on their Instagram. Of course it's private now, but before, Twitter has shown Instagram posts and whatnot of people. Hey girl, how you doing?
We'll get some answers on this when the live feeds come on, unless the live feeds cut out every time that those two ever talk to each other. So it's possible. We'll see. All right. So we also found out, Melissa, it seems like that it was a little bit of a not so amicable breakup between Christy and Tommy's aunt.
Yeah, that was definitely a question we had going in, was, is this still a friendship or is this friendship, like, not a friendship? Is this an issue between the two of them? So that's going to be interesting because, you know, going in, we all thought, okay, they know each other. And they know each other in the outside world. So that's automatically someone you can trust. If there is bad blood, they probably can't trust each other. At least they're going to be wary of each other. So it kind of makes for an
interesting. I mean, like, I'm just going to say, I call BS on this because, like, you had her on the other night saying, Christy, I'm talking about saying, well, this could be a good thing or a bad. Girl, stop. It's a good thing. You have somebody, you have an advantage that nobody else, well, seemingly nobody else in the house has, in that you know each other. You know each other from the outside world. You have a sense of trust of who this person is and what they're like that you don't have with anybody else in the house. That's why I do think at the end, Tommy ended up throwing it to Christy and cheering for her because he felt confident about her keeping him safe. I mean, that's just such a leg up to have in the house, to have somebody who you know you can trust, at least in the early going, and if not for the first two thirds of the game. Now, it may get to a point later on down the line where Chrissy takes a hard look at it and says maybe Tommy's too tough to beat in the end and has to give him the heave-ho, but I don't think that's happening. I think they're in it for the long haul.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll see. Well, again, we'll find out how that relationship has grown over the course of the first week very soon. So we have our HOH competition. Actually, before that, we have an alliance in the house, Melissa.
Yes, we do. A 6-person alliance that is not called Level 6.
What is it called? Yeah, it's basically a lot of people that watched Big Brother 20 said, oh, yeah, that worked. That was a good idea.
They're like, 6 is a good number. And we're not going to say why we think it's a good number, but it's a great number.
That was good. So
yeah, Jack, 6 is a great number.
Jack, Mickey, and Nick. And then it's Bella, Christy, and
Holly.
And Holly. Okay. Yep. All right.
I have to say, Bella gets around, girl. Like, it's amazing to me. Like, if you said to me, like, that Jackson and Jack are gonna pick a girl to be in an alliance together, I would not have picked Bella. I would think that they would like pick like the, you know, paper, like vanilla blonde princess in Catherine. But I was so stoked when they chose Bella because I love her. And she, even in the diary room, is like, another alliance just fell in my lap. Like, I mean, I'm like, was this a Christine thing where she just happened to be in the room and they couldn't contain themselves?
It seems like it.
And then they thus had to include her, because that's how it felt to me.
I mean, it seemed like that. But then later on, you know, Jack goes directly to her to bring her in. And when they were talking about, okay, who else can we include? He brought her name up right away and was like, Bella, I like her.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be totally into a Bella Jack, alliance. That would be great.
Brett, Power 6. Is that the name of the alliance or is that a placeholder right now?
I felt like it was a placeholder, but it may be the name. I honestly wasn't paying much attention. I was more astounded that people that I actually like in Christy and Bella were included in this alliance so that I didn't have to totally root against the 6-person alliance from the start like I did last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Melissa, you think that that's going to be the real name?
I don't know. It always is interesting to me when they come up with these names that are like, so dumb sometimes, and we're like, that's ridiculous. That's not gonna last. And then we end up getting so into it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like we had Faute and we have the Pretty Boys. Like I remember when the Pretty Boys were formed, and we were like, we're not gonna have to save this for very long. And then there we go. The whole season is Pretty Boys this, Pretty Boys that.
Yeah. All right, Brent, I know it's only the second night of the show. How legit do you think this alliance of 6 could be? Because that we see sometimes where there's one side of the house and then the other side of the house forms. And then you have other times where, you know, you have a group that is able to stay undetected and just pick off other people and nobody even knows what's going on.
I mean, I want to say that it's not going to last. And the reason I'm going to say that is because I don't feel like that this collection of people really has a lot in common. On the other hand, I always felt like KC was out of place last year in Level 6 in Big Brother 20. I always felt like she was in the wrong group, but yet she fit in perfectly with Level 6 and went all the way to the end and won the show. So, I mean, hell if I know, Rob, but if you're asking me, I'm going to say it's not going to last very long.
What do you think, Melissa?
I see it's different now that Christy has won HOH, because I feel like that is something that will help the alliance stay strong, because mm-hmm. they don't need to pick each other off. They don't need to be like, we're not in power. Get rid of whoever. So I think that will certainly help keep the alliance going. However, I agree with Brent in that it really just seems like this random collection of people that don't really know each other yet. I mean, it's hard to say because we haven't been watching the feeds, but it does seem that way, that it's just like, and this person and that person, let's add all you guys together. But sometimes that, you know, that lasts a long time. Who knows?
Yeah, I think that everybody wants to just replicate what we just saw. And I think that it probably is a disservice to Level 6 and how good they were at keeping what they were doing a secret, to say that these six random people could just come in and try to do the same thing.
Yeah, but then again, I saw it done last season on Big Brother Canada 7, where they saw an alliance that they thought looked kind of pretty and shiny and decided to try to replicate it. And it seemed kind of random, the people that were coming together, and then it worked. So yeah. Who knows what's going to happen here?
All right. Let's talk about the HOH. It was kind of a weird HOH where we had people hanging on these, totem poles. And that the camp director, Mickey, was tasked with, okay, put people into pairs. But most, did the pairs have anything, any bearing to with the entire challenge?
I thought it was going to be that whichever pair won or one person from the pair won, they would have to decide between the pair. Like, okay, which one?
Well, that would have been smart. That would have been fun.
I guess it mattered because when you were paired with a bigger guy, it looked like maybe the guy took over more of the pillar and then you were kind of left with a little bit. But I really didn't see it making that much of a difference. So who knows?
Maybe it shifted the swinging with the weight if your person fell off or what. But no, I didn't really get that. And I didn't really understand why we gave Mickey the power. Like
It was totally nonsensical. Made no sense. Him picking them made no sense. The fact that they were in pairs made no sense. And then they blew it at the end when they could have had the two people have to decide something or like had them chained together up there. But no, the whole thing was just a mess. I mean, I'm glad Christy ended up winning because I do enjoy her, but I didn't like this competition.
Okay. All right. So we end up with Christy as our first HOH. Was it a good thing or bad thing for Christy to be the first HOH?
I think it's good. I used to say that being first HOH was always really bad. I was always like, if I'm on the show, I will never try and get first HOH. But it does seem to me that in the most recent seasons, the first HOH is really in a good position because everyone, it seems like you get involved in the big alliance in the beginning because everyone's trying to work with the HOH. Mm-hmm. So it does seem like nowadays it makes sense to get HOH because that opens up doors for you when it comes to joining alliances with people and strategizing in the first week. So I think it's a good thing for her. It's possible that because she already had formed this alliance that it doesn't really do her that much good, but still, I mean, I think it could be a good thing for her.
Brent, you feel like it's going to be a good thing for Christy?
Yeah, I mean, I think even more so the fact that somebody's already been eliminated and Jackson already has a little bit of blood on his hands. So it's not even really like she has the first HOH. I mean, she is, but there's already been a little bit of gameplay that's happened in the house. So I feel like it's even better for her to have won this HOH to get people coming to her. You know, even though she does have a pre-made alliance, we don't know how solid that alliance is. And if she wants to entertain other offers or have other people who are not in her alliance potentially keep her safe next week, then yeah, that's a good thing for her too. So I like this all around for Christy.
Yeah, I think the first HOH can be bad if you're somebody who really overplays, like Jackson getting the first HOH. I think it would have probably been catastrophic for him. He's lucky that he was in a position of power for 18 hours. Whereas I think that she's the right person to sort of be able to, because it's a long HOH, that first HOH. They move into the house, I think like a week ago today maybe, and then you end up being, she'll be the HOH until a week from today. So it's a lot of time to spend as that first HOH. And we've seen it spell disaster for some people in the past. So you have to be able to be real low key for these first 2 weeks of the game.
You got to be chill. And I do feel like she's chill. I also felt like Tyler was chill last year. I feel like the people that McCray also pretty chill. I feel like the people that are chill are good first HOHs. The people that are spazzes are not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like a Cody.
Yep. Cody. Okay.
All right, Cody. So let's anything else from night number two that we want to touch on?
I tweeted this. Did we even see Catherine or Nicole? I feel like they were barely on the show tonight, especially Catherine. We saw Nicole
a little bit. Yeah, I don't think we saw Catherine at all.
We saw one DR from Catherine.
Did we? I had no idea.
What did she say? I don't remember what she said.
Remember your first round draft pick. Is that what
you meant? Exactly. That's the thing. Is I was like, okay, there she is.
Oh, we haven't talked too much about the squirrel.
Oh, yes. I loved that.
You loved it.
I was, I still was trying to figure out, did they actually put them
definitely
in the
body? Definitely not. Definitely okay. not. The squirrel
unless
was...
Unless that squirrel has like super strength.
Yeah.
Then there's no way that squirrel is there's carrying no way. Them and dragging like, them
that
out.
That squirrel was dragging around a bag with Cliff in it like it was yeah. like the garbage. Like
they, and like tossing it over his shoulder. Like, yeah, there's no way.
And then when, was it Kemi or I think it was Jessica? I can't remember. Whoever was in the bathroom and then got her head hit on the sink, like if she had actually been in the bag or something. So, yeah, it really fun fake segment. You faked me out. I mean, I knew it was fake, but like I was like, is this really fake? Or am I just like, am I playing are they playing tricks on me here? So good yeah. to know.
Okay. Brent, let me get your professional opinion on this. Does Cliff know what he's saying when they make him say these things?
I got big squirrels and big nuts in Texas.
Oh, not only is he aware of what he's saying, he is praying that Arhap, Rob as yes. a podcast, got it on okay. the soundboard.
So this was a special dedication to me, you're saying?
I
balls
have
in my
to.
Face, balls in my ear, balls in my chin. I've never been hit in the face with this many balls before in my life.
I mean, how many times could he say balls?
You don't say, Cliff, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
He's going to be fun. Look, I'm calling it now. I am calling it. I feel like Cliff has a glide path to the final three at this point. If he once the old person makes it past that first round of evictions, I feel like they're in it for the long haul. Why are you really going to get rid of a guy like that? I feel like we're going to get Cliff all summer long.
Okay. All right. Melissa, any other night two thoughts?
Nope, just that I feel like it's not enough. I always am never satisfied when
okay,
it
good.
First starts.
We got 90 more days where that came from.
Well, no, once the feeds begin, I'll feel satisfied. But I feel like before the feeds happen, I'm like, I need more content.
Two things. Sam is bringing true everything I feared about him and that I can't freaking stand him. Like, shut the hell up.
Yes,
he's already annoying me. Like,
you don't, why? Is it the yelling in the diary room?
I am blasted with this red paint. I am legit covered from head to toe everywhere. I literally felt like Carrie at the prom minus the psychic powers.
God, and I am from what? Kentucky. So I know people that talk like this.
Just too much yelling.
Him, and then
he's got like the young demographic though covered.
That's
like,
true.
I'm sure yeah. little
my sister
right
loves him, and she's younger than me. Yes. All Tommy in the diary room is very fun. I know the evil Dick is not living for him right now. He thinks he's a bit much in the diary room, but I thought he was very yeah. fun with the horror movie. No,
Tommy is getting the like producer's pet of being able to deliver hey, could you try one that's like this? He's like, you got it.
You got it.
And 10 other versions.
He is the JC in the diary room of this season of the person.
I feel like he was Frankie Grande. That's what I felt like when he was talking.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little much for me. My favorite in the diary room so far is Bella. And I like Jack in the diary room. I think he does a good job, even with the lines that they feed him.
Bella and Kemi. Kemi, you got to play better.
You know what? I do. I like Kemi in the diary room because she is different.
So
I
dry.
Feel like, yeah. Like, I feel like that she's not going to be like, oh, okay. You want me to be more excited? I'll do
very
it.
Cody.
I feel like she'd be
yeah.
like, no, I'm not doing that.
No, I'm not doing that.
And I love it. It's great because it feels more real. It's like, you know, like when Janelle or someone would sit in the diary room with like their hand back here and just be like, this is what I'm doing. And this is the way it's going. And I love it. And it's like Omarosa. She had her own style in the diary room. That's something I look out for. So I like it.
Now, last night I spoke with Taryn and Steve Moses about the premiere night. Was there anything about night one that either of you want to get off your chest?
No, here's the thing. I want to say this on the record. I was not annoyed by this quote unquote twist as much as anybody else apparently has been. I was totally fine with it because it had a little bit of everything. It had a chance for them to vote. They got to campaign. They got to talk to each other. They got time with each other. Then they got a chance to compete. And then once they got a chance to compete, your fate is in your own hands. So I was totally cool. I mean, you got the camp counselor thing. Mm-mm. Then you had to win the camp counselor, and then you could go to the camp counselor and still save yourself. I mean, it was their own damn fault that they threw their hats in the ring and tried to win by giving him a reason to nominate them or banish them from the house. So I was fine with this. I thought it had a lot of gameplay in it, and I wasn't bothered by it at all.
Yeah, I think they're looking for something to get the show started a little quicker. I think that last season, I think it might have been a 2-hour premiere, and we had a lot of stuff going on where we had two different competitions, where we had Sam got the robot punishment, and Casey got the, what was it, the blue, not the blue screen of death or
the
whatever.
Pinwheel of death.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they had a lot of stuff to do. But in terms of like, you know, getting you invested in what's going on, like it does raise the stakes. So I know it's not popular, but I understand why there is the impulse to do this in the two-night premiere.
Yes. Also, just to clean up a few things, Melissa was correct. Chalk one up for you, Melissa. Jody was 42 years of age when Big Brother 14 came around, and she is now 51. And may I just say, Jody, girl, you look good. Mm-hmm. And you looked good back in BB14, because I was thinking you're like 28 or something.
I still say Cliff was rattling off people that were night one evictions, not the old person in the house.
Cliff knows. He knows the show. I trust him.
Was there how about this? Is there a different person who was the oldest person in the house that was the first brew? Why didn't he say Cornbread?
Because that's BBOTT. Probably hasn't watched that.
Okay. All right. So let's bring in some questions from the listeners. Why don't we start off with Ian, the great Ian Rice. Why didn't Jackson put up the first four that voted for Jessica? Seems like the easiest route. Did he know who were the four that voted for Jessica?
The problem, I don't know that he knew exactly who were the four that voted for Jessica, because you couldn't vote for yourself. So even other people who voted like in a weird way, like one person voted for Nick, one person voted for Jack. Like, you don't know where exactly all the votes fell. So I don't know. I think it was easier to go the route that he did. I like the route that he did, actually. He just failed in the execution of it.
Okay. Let's do the next question, Scott. I think we got that. Mr. Robot Taren, over under of 1.5 TMZ stories coming out of this season. I mean, in fairness.
Yes.
Yeah.
TMZ makes a story out of everything, but I'm keeping positive and saying that there will not be any TMZ stories.
Okay, well, that's very positive.
I
mean, 1.5 stories would be like a good over under for like the rest of the month of June. I mean, yes, that's only two stories. You know, these first couple of weeks are when the most stuff does tend to happen. So we'll see. It's a long summer. Some of these, you know, a lot of these stories are like, Scotty said a bad word on the live show.
So dumb.
Oh my God. The like, dumbest who cares? Controversy ever. Oh.
Yeah. So,
it's like not even a controversy. It's like just so stupid.
I love the joke. Yeah.
A good over under, I think, would be, with all due respect, Mr. Robot Taren, I'd say 7.5 would be a good over under. Right, what do you think? Seven and a half TMZ stories.
I'll still take the over, Rob.
Not a bad under. Bet. Not a bad bet. Okay. Here's one from Gretchen Hunter, who says, sorry about your strep, but your hair looks great, Brent. Oh.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes, I've been going off camera when I haven't been talking so that I could use my chloroseptic, because every time I start ranting, my tonsils start to hurt. So
are they sponsoring the podcast?
Yeah.
I know, right? I was holding it up like
that. Brent, you don't think that there's anybody on Twitter with a Brent voodoo doll here at the start of the Big Brother season,
do you? I'm sure there's a few. I have to say.
Somebody should market those. That could be a huge merchandising opportunity.
I would have to send a cease and desist.
The Brent voodoo doll. We'll get that up in the RJP store for people. Okay. All right.
It would be a bestseller, Rob.
Bestseller. Okay. All right. This is one from Johnny. Is it weak gameplay that Tommy and Christy didn't immediately question whether there were other paired house guests? That's, well, I'll say that's a little not fair, because I don't think we know.
That's the thing.
You know, they might have had those conversations. There might even be other people that know each other, but, you know, we don't know what they've said off camera.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they did. Like, I'm sure they have to be saying to themselves, like, it can't just be us, right? Because that's what happened during BB6 when they started thinking about it. And then, of course, but then the secret goes out the window when somebody's evicted. So that's what happened on BB6. But here, I would think that they would at least, it would at least cross their minds. Come on.
Okay. All right. Then this one from Andrew. Are they trying too hard to make Sam happen, Melissa?
They do this every year with some character where the person's yelling in the DR and it's a whole thing. And it's like, they just love that sort of thing. And I hate it. So, you know, that's that. Sam seems like a nice guy, but I wish he would just yell less.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that he'll catch a little bit of the Brent strep throat along the way. And maybe we'll be a little more quiet in the diary room.
Yeah, that would be good. I'd enjoy that.
Okay. All right. Daddy B wants to know, is this First Alliance the new Level 6 or the new Faute, Brent?
I have to say that nobody could ever Faute, but if I have to pick one, it's more Faute than Level 6. I don't see this lasting, but I've been surprised before. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be fencer-gen, but I've just been like, I still go back to Big Brother Canada and the Pretty Boys and how we all laughed at that.
Yeah.
We just guffawed at that. Like, there's no freaking way this is working. Not that horrible name. And then we ended up talking about it all season, ended up being like the most successful alliance in the history of Big Brother Canada. So, girl, bye. I never know what's going to happen, but I have to believe it's more
Faute. Well, let's maybe look at it this way. Okay, so who are the best players in the house that are not in the Power 6? Do we think that there are enough where in the case of Big Brother Canada, it was a little bit of Keystone Cops where nobody was able to get on the right page? Do we have faith in the other 9 people that are not in this Power 6, Melissa?
I think so. I think that there's a lot more people on the other side, and I don't necessarily see that power of 6 people, being strong enough and good enough at the game to just, win.
Well, I have the names in front of me. I mean, I feel like Ovi, Jessica, and Cliff are 3 people who you are not going to put one over on.
And Tommy.
I still have a lot of faith in Tommy, too. I also have a lot of faith that Christy won't be able to keep a secret from Tommy, also. Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Yeah, that's the other problem with their alliance is that it's not really a 6-person alliance. It's a 7-person alliance because with Christy comes Tommy and they don't even know that. So she's definitely put herself in the catbird seat.
Yeah. Okay. Then I'm acting like we don't have any live feed updates. Am I correct in that assumption?
I mean, we have a few things.
Okay. All right. So we'll play.
Karen covered most of it on the show.
All right. I'll play the spoiler, thing in a couple of minutes. Okay. All right. Daddy B, are Christy and Tommy going to dominate the endurance comps? Probably not. I mean, Christy.
I could see Tommy doing really well. I mean, he's super athletic, but, being a dancer, I feel like that certainly will have some sort of help when it comes to flexibility and having to hang on to things and stuff like that. So,
yeah. Okay. I know Christy talked about that. She did not have any upper body strength. Brent, was this like a Rachel Riley, like a strong leg special here?
I mean, I was trying to figure out exactly, was it a grip thing? Like, she may not have strong arms, but maybe she has a good grip, because it did seem like it was all about grip. And if you lost your grip, you were going to go down, because most of your weight was on that ledge. I mean, even the people that ended up falling, like Cliff, he looked like he was doing fine grip wise until the end when he just slipped off the ledge at the bottom.
Okay. All right. Let's start to move into talking about whatever updates we have from the live feeds. Nothing consequential, right? Nobody should leave, right?
No. Well, I mean, I can speak to the longevity of this alliance or not if you want.
Okay.
But,
So let me play the song real quick. Okay. And then we'll be back. Our next Big Brother live show is going to be all the way on Sunday night. So we'll be back at 9:15 PM Eastern time on Sunday night. Of course, the Summer of Stein is going to kick off on Friday. So be on the lookout for that. Send in your questions. Summer of Stein at robhasawebsite.com or use the hashtag Summer of Stein on Twitter. And let's get into a quick session of spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler.
Against this country has been detected, and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Sorry. Then the main thing that I wanted to get across was the fact that Christie is in an alliance with this Power Six group, one of which includes Mickey, a.k.a. Jackson. And apparently from the live feeds that we heard a few days ago on the leak, this was the audio leak, not the official leak that CBS gave us. But this was what we believe to be an unofficial leak, i.e. a mistake, where we got a lot of game talk from the house guests, and she was not feeling, Christie I'm talking about, is the HOH, was not feeling Jackson at all. But as we remember from the camp counselor thing, he's safe, so she can't target him. So it looks like she's going to be targeting Catherine, because apparently Mickey and Catherine have gotten close in the interim that we have seen them. And that's totally predictable. Mm-hmm. And she's also, unfortunately, my little blurb about Cliff going the long haul, it may be in danger because it does look like she's going to use Cliff as a pawn. Last we heard, now again, she may have changed her mind in the interim. We don't know. Mm-hmm. These are not the official nominations. But at last we heard, it was she was going to target Catherine as her target with Cliff as a pawn, her reasoning being that Cliff has already been quote unquote up on the block or nominated, whatever you want to call it, banished. And it's easy to just put him up over again. So he needs to, Cliff I'm talking about, to survive this vote. If he gets past it, I do really feel great about his chances.
Okay.
Also, to be fair, this was her conversation with Nicole. So it's possible that all this is, you know, tainted through that because she could be just saying it to try and get Nicole off of the scent. Who knows? Maybe she was, you know, planning on nominating Nicole. Like, we don't know. So
I guess I feel like that. I mean, that would be really ballsy during the first week to just flat out lie. I mean, I feel like if you're going to nominate somebody, I feel like you're going to not be so absolute about it. You're going to want to leave yourself some wiggle room about what you're really going to do. So I take your point, and it's certainly granted that we don't know that she was telling the truth. My read on the situation was that she was being truthful about the people that she was saying that she felt great about. The people that, I mean, I can see Jackson getting on her nerves really quick. In fact, I was stunned that she even agreed to. I mean, I'm not stunned that she agreed to the alliance. Obviously, you say yes to any alliance that people come up to you. But the fact that she felt wedded to it at all was a mystery to me.
Okay. All right. We will know all these answers for sure in a little more than 2 hours, or a little less than 2 hours at this point. So we will have our live feeds kicking off again. Rob has a website.com/live feeds. You could try out CBS All Access for free for 1 week and get your live feeds through robhaswebsite.com. robhaswebsite.com/live feeds. Taryn Armstrong will be live tomorrow morning at let me give you the plug. So what's coming up? Survivor South Africa, Island of Secrets, episode 7 recap is that already up? Is that the new one? I've fallen behind. I can't remember that. I'm only on episode 5. I finished episode 4 the other night. I gotta keep going. Shannon Gates and Mike Bloom doing a great job. The Amazing Race 31 finale exit interviews. I can tell you, I will talk to 3 of the 4 teams on Thursday, and then I will talk to the 4th place team on Friday. So that's what I've been told from CBS. So I will have 3 of the 4 interviews on Thursday, and then I'll have an interview on Friday. The Amazing Race 31 finale recap is coming your way as well, with myself and Jessica Leese and Mike Bloom as well on Thursday night. So be on the lookout for that. Then the live feed updates get underway on Thursday morning. Taryn Armstrong is going to be loaded in for the summer. I saw in the chat people were wondering, well, how do I get those? Okay. Of course, you can watch us live right here on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Go to rhap.live anytime to see any show that is streaming. So all you have to do is bring up that page in the morning, rhap.live. Yes, Brent.
I just wanted to announce for those people who know him, and how could you not, Amon Adwin, our very own, is going to be on the update tomorrow with Taryn. He's in the chat right now letting everybody know, and I am psyched about that. Taryn and Amon tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern. I will be there.
Okay. All right. So be on the lookout for that on Thursday morning. Of course, you can subscribe and make sure you don't miss the podcast version also. And the Summer of Stein is going to be back on Friday. Get your questions in. Summer of Stein at robhasawebsite.com. Eric and I will be back together. Audio only this season. We're going to simplify it a little bit to try to make our lives easier with the Summer of Stein. And then Sunday night, we'll be back. I believe it's 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. Always with those Sunday night shows, make sure there's no like golf or anything that pushes us back, and make sure to set your DVR later if necessary. Of course, what a great time to jump on in to the patron community of Rob as a Podcast. That's who makes all this podcasting possible. You say, how is this possible? How could they do a recap after every episode and then a live feed update every morning, then an LFC roundtable, and then Summer of Stein? How is that possible? Well, it's because of you, the patrons of Rob's Podcast. Go to robswebsite.com/patron to find out more information about everything that we're doing behind the scenes of Rob's Podcast. Get access to our secret patron-only podcast feed and much more, all at robswebsite.com/patron. Okay. Last night without the live feeds, Melissa, are you, is it like Christmas Eve?
I'm very excited. I'm really excited, especially because right when they turn on the feeds, I mean, at this point, we have no idea who's like getting along with who, who's fighting with who, what's going on. And so all we get to know are like little snippets of things that people say about like, remember like a couple days ago when this happened? And we're like, wait, what happened? And it's about piecing stuff together. And it's very fun and exciting.
Yes. Okay. All right.
We're all here for the detective work, Rob. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. All right. A lot of TV to still catch up on tonight. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up again. Really appreciate all those ratings and reviews at the Apple Podcast Store to get us started at the start of the new season. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes, robhasawebsite.com/BB Podcast. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one and good night. This episode of Robinson Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at True Car. Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, that luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you save by riding your bike all summer long. While you can't put a price tag on your stories now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or to trade it in. Just go to True Car, simply enter your license plate number, and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof. Watch as they bump up your car's value. High mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you, but now you know how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a True Cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True Cash offer not available in all areas.